This is Vermont Edition. I'm Michaela Lafrac. Today, we are broadcasting in front of a live studio audience of Vermont Public members and supporters. We are in Vermont Public's Stetson Studio One in Colchester with the talented local musicians Seamus Egan, Maura Smiley, and Jan Falke. Seamus is an internationally acclaimed Irish folk musician based right here in Vermont. He's the founder of the Irish-American band Solas and is well known as one of the leading composers and interpreters of the tradition. He's also a multi-instrumentalist, and if you are listening on the radio, let me just tell you that these musicians are surrounded by instruments. Maura Smiley is a Bristol-based folk musician and composer. She's recorded and performed with the indie band The Toon Yards and has a new folk album out this year called The Rhizome Project. They'll be accompanied today by Jan Falke, a guitarist who specializes in Quebecois traditional music. And we are not taking calls today, but you can still join our conversation via email. Do you have a question about folk music traditions? Perhaps you've seen Seamus or Maura or Jan perform before. Where were you? And what was the music like? How did it hit you? You can email vermontedition@vermontpublic.org, and we will read your email or ask your question during today's show. So with that, let's give a round of applause to our musicians for being here. Oh, Seamus, you grew up in Ireland, and you have this deep knowledge of traditional Irish music. I'm curious to hear when music first hit your consciousness and became something that you knew was going to be an integral part of your life.
It would have happened at a very young age. I started playing when I was about six, and I was about seven. And I remember we didn't have a television, but our neighbors did. And if there was anything coming on television that was sort of musical or of that nature, our parents would send us down to the neighbor's house to watch this. And there was a program that was on that was featuring James Galway, the classical flute player, and Matt Malloy, who was, to my ears, the best flute player ever, and still I think the best flute player. And I'd never seen them play. I'd never seen a flute be played, but I had heard it, and that was the moment I knew that that's what I wanted to do. And I remember racing home, and I had this flute that was in the cupboard that I hated, but from that moment forward, I loved it, and so from that was just sort of like, it was a singular moment, and I knew.
Why did you hate the flute in the cupboard?
Because it was plastic, and it had the sharpest tone hole. It would just wreck your lips. It was like putting your mouth against a blade. And I was, trying to practice on it, but after I heard what it could sound like and had that sound and visual in my head, it didn't matter anymore. So I just kind of got over all of that, and it was just trying to get that sound.
Maura, did you have a similarly painful entry into music? What was your first instrument that you learned?
My first instrument was the piano. Remember a singular moment. For me, it was just listening to records and organizing my parents' record collection and being enamored of all the Smithsonian Folkways records and my mother's jazz records and the smell of the record box, was a very very important part of being immersed in the whole experience of music. So, and I think the piano was the way in to being able to get it in my body. And, but I was pretty nervous little piano player, even though I loved it. I loved it and I hated it. And I remember at age 12, because I was, in a small school, I said, okay, everybody, I'm turning 12 and I'm going to quit piano. So that's my identity is no longer the piano, you know, everybody. So, and I think I changed my name also to Gwen at the time. So I had a little bit of a love-hate relationship with instrument too. So.
It's like you're Sasha Fierce. It's Gwen. And Jan, when did you first learn the guitar?
Well, in high school, I grew up in Quebec, mm-hmm. and when I switched to high school, it was a school that had a music program, and I just got to pick an instrument, and there was all them in front of me, and there was this little box that seemed very convenient and easy to carry. It was a clarinet, and I played for 1 year at the same time as I was discovering Pink Floyd and Led Zeppelin, and I realized quickly enough I would never be able to play that music on the clarinet. But the next year, I talked to the people and they said, maybe you should switch to guitar. And that's what I've been doing. I was a little older than Seamus. I was 11 or 12 when I switched to guitar.
Mm. Well, the first song that you all are going to be playing for us is called Morning Dove. Maura, what should our audience know about this song before you play it?
This song kind of bloomed out of the pandemic and the solitude that we were all within. And it also expresses the watching nature, which you can do outside of the window more easily here in Vermont. And there were two mourning doves nesting near our house. And I found their way of creating the nest and their egalitarian sort of coming and going very beautiful. And so it's a song very much based in Vermont, but I also have always wanted to bring the morning dove and that sound into something that I was doing because it's my favorite call. Mm. So that call sounds so mournful and also hopeful. That sound. And for me, it was an inspiration of how these two birds were moving together, of how to be in solitude at some times, and then invite your loved one in, and to cultivate that beautiful sense of sharing, even though you'll fly away often, as we do as musicians, and be on our own for many weeks at a time.
Mm. This is Morning Dove.
Oh,
begin again as the light comes, winter at my window. You wrap me in your solitude.
Have a line of mourning doves waiting to meet you outside, responding to your call.
Oh, I would love that.
Winter in my window. That is certainly the experience that we are all having right now in Vermont. It reminds me of a question that we got for you all from a listener ahead of today's show, a listener named Sarah, who I believe is in the audience today. Sarah asks, why is Vermont a good place for making music? I imagine each of you has a different answer to that. Maura, let's start with you.
I love that question. I grew up here, and for me, then leaving Vermont, I got to see how Vermont is a special place of carpenters and musicians. Everyone can make things, and everyone can make music. And there's this beautiful ethos that you can just do it wherever. Music is to be made everywhere. And I think that's a real special thing that happens when community music is very valued. And so, and I was blessed to have that growing up, that I had this classical sense of classical music was sort of how I trained. But then all around that was folk music and folk musicians and dancers and things that were very humble, but at the same time, so delicious and good. So I feel like that's, for me, why Vermont is a really happening place for music.
Maura, you grew up here. Seamus, you grew up in Ireland. Why Vermont?
Well, after Ireland, I lived in Philadelphia for many years, and most of my adult life has been spent traveling. Being in Philadelphia, it felt like it was sort of just like a place for temporary sort of in, and then I was gone again. And being here when I moved to Vermont, it felt like I'd never really experienced being for prolonged stretches of time so close to nature. And in fact, I had actively gone out of my way to avoid such encounters. So once I was here and kind of settled into that, just the different sounds of it's a lot quieter, But also, like, hearing, you know, wind through the leaves and, you know, lots of birds and other things I couldn't identify once I got used to that. I was like, this is really, I don't know, it changed how, it kind of changed the temp, my sort of internal tempo somehow. I think in a way that I felt sort of positive about, and it just, I don't know, when I settled in here, I started to write an awful lot, which I was grateful for. Mm-hmm.
Do you find yourself trying to mimic some of those sounds of nature with the different instruments that you play?
I'm not sure if it's about mimicking, but I definitely felt sort of a pull to incorporate them into what I was making. It just sounded like it was, it just sound, so much of it sounded very melodic and sounds very melodic to me, that it felt like a natural sort of evolution to try and bring those sounds into what I was doing and seeing if I could, I don't know, just sort of blend with them a bit. And so I've really enjoyed that, you know, running out to the woods with a recorder and just seeing, you know, what happens, you know.
And Jan, you traversed our northern border to come to Vermont from Quebec. Why is Vermont a special place for you to make music?
Yeah, well, I agree wholeheartedly with Maura that Vermont is a fantastic place to live as a musician. I'm from north, but I live way south. I live in Brattleboro, Vermont now, which is...
Basically Florida.
Basically Florida. nice. I forgot to bring oranges, but next time I will. It's a little bit like Burlington. So within Vermont, it's a slightly bigger town, city. And it's incredible. I had friends there, and I knew there was a music community there. That's why I moved there. But I just couldn't believe that now on Monday night we go and play Irish music with some friends, and then on Wednesday night there was a Quebecois gathering. People played Quebec music, and just so much music, so much traditional music. That's the type of music I've been playing for years. But also a really big classical music festival, Marlborough Music. Next door, some of the, you know, amazing avant-garde songwriting and all kinds of music. And I thought, I was surprised to see so much wealth of art and creativity in such, yeah. No, not a, what you think, a big urban center like Montreal, where I lived for a long time, or Boston, where I was in a while. Just, I think it's maybe what Seamus described, that pull of nature, of being, you come back from tour, you maybe don't want to be surrounded by millions of people. You mm-hmm. want to go and... be a bit of a recluse, close to nature, between shows, and I like all these elements. Yeah.
Let's pause here for our first break. We will continue our conversation and performance with folk musicians Seamus Egan, Maura Smiley, and Jan Falquet when we come back. This is Vermont Edition. Stay with us. Welcome back to Vermont Edition. I'm Michaela Lefrak. Today, we are broadcasting live from our Stetson Studio One here at Vermont Public in Colchester, in front of a live studio audience. Our guests are the folk musicians Seamus Egan, Maura Smiley, and Jan Falquet. Before the break, Jan, you were telling us a little bit about growing up in Quebec and the traditions that you learned there. Can you tell us a little bit more about what Quebecois traditional music is for those of us who are uninitiated?
Yeah, absolutely. It's a music, it's very much a cousin, not so distant cousin of, let's say, Irish music, Scottish music, fiddle music in general. I know here in New England there's a rich culture of contra dancing, so just gatherings are done on a Saturday night. Everybody gets together to the Grange, play music to the local musicians, and some of these musicians were in fact French Canadian who came over the border. So I think people who are into fiddle music in these parts are no strangers to the music of Quebec. But really, it's fiddle based instrumentally. You got the fiddle, you got a certain type of foot tapping that's very distinctive to the Quebec music. But when we sing, we don't sing in English. Obviously, they're all old songs that came from France or were written over the years in the territory that is now Quebec. So it's this mishmash of French culture and some of the British, Irish, and Scottish cultures.
Hmm. And so those traditions are being incorporated into those of our other two guests. Seamus, You have studied Irish music your entire life. Why do you think it has such staying power? It made its way into the United States centuries ago and really infiltrated our music traditions here in many ways. Can you speak to its impact?
Yeah, it is kind of remarkable. I mean, it's a music that I think it's, you know, regardless of your sort of background or heritage, I think as a music, it's very easy to relate to, where you don't have to know hardly anything about it. Like, you can feel, when it's joyful, you can feel it. When it's sorrowful, you can feel it. And I think it's especially powerful at conveying those emotions. I mean, it comes from a well of strong emotions, and it expresses that. And as a music, it's very resilient. It can take different shapes and forms, but you can still, the sort of the blood pumping through it is always identifiable somehow. If I try and not sound like it, I can't. Which, you know, it can be annoying, but it's like the blood of that is sort of my blood. It's like it's connected, and I think it's, you know, when people come up and, you know, it hits, whether you're in Ireland or you're, you know, here in the States or even in Japan, or, you know, people come up and have, it's the same, it lands the same way. It's kind of amazing. Mm. And as a culture, it's very open, you know, like sessions. I grew up playing sessions with people gathering and playing music, and sessions are open. Like, they're not, there's no bar to entry. Mm-hmm. So it's welcoming. And you kind of find your own way. I mean, there are rules and stuff, but no one says anything. You just, you'll get a dirty look and you'll know. You know, but it's a very sort of gentle sort of, you know, in some ways, accepting music.
Mm. Each of you comes from a different country and is describing the music that you grew up with, but I'm hearing lots of overlaps here in how we talk about folk music as a genre. Maura, do you feel like folk is something of an international or cross-border genre?
Yeah, I absolutely do. And I think there is something special about folk music. And for me, it's that sense that it's from everyone, you know, it's from the people rather than an elite, cultured, educated. You have to only be educated and you have to have these very refined tastes. Now, folk music, along with so many other different musics during, you know, once recorded, you know, there's refinement and it gets pulled into all different directions that sometimes are very classical. And actually, I love the combination of chamber music, of classical music and folk music, because I feel like they tell stories, the sort of physicality of classical music and that virtuosity can really kind of lift up a folk story. Like, a story that we all care about and carry in our bodies is, you know, don't mess with my love, or, you know, please give me my liberty, or make me feel that I'm equal. These kinds of, and let me express my joy how I want to, rather than how you say I should. These kind of elements are, I think, a universal beauty in folk music, in folk tradition. It just invites. It says, welcome, welcome, welcome. Mm.
Well, the next song you all are going to play for us is called Welcome to Orwell. So, a fitting transition.
Very good.
Seamus, this song is about moving here, right?
It is, yeah. Like people all over the place moving. I loaded up a big old U-Haul and with all my stuff and headed up the road from Philadelphia. And it really, I'd never driven one of them before, and it really...
Scary, right?
It's terrifying, and I was kind of amazed that there is no test that that U-Haul should make you take before...
It's America.
It's incredible. Every time I see a U-Haul on the road now, I have a very different take on because I know how I felt and driving it from Philadelphia to Vermont. And Welcome to Orwell was you know, I mean, to put it mildly, I was a bit of a wreck by the time I crossed the state border here, and I saw the sign there saying Welcome to Orwell, and you know, I had never been to Orwell before, but it just sort of made a whole lot of sense to me with the way I was feeling at that moment. And I just thought, well, if I make it the next couple of hours and, you know, in one piece, I'm going to write something to memorialize this epic expedition I had just survived. So that's sort of how it came about.
All right, Orwellians, this one's for you.
Yeah. Thank you.
Seamus, is there a special... do you not need to breathe like we breathe? How, I didn't really see you breathing very much when you were playing. How do you do it?
You know, that would make my father very, very happy. Because when I was learning how to play the flutes and the whistles and stuff, I had, you know, would practice upstairs in my bedroom, and then I'd have to come down and play what it was that, you know, I was practicing for my dad. And he would close his eyes. And if he heard a breath, I'd have to go back up and keep practicing. So it was a very motivating factor, because I hated practicing. So, you know, if it was kind of a little, I learned little tricks to sort of breathe very quietly. And so I'm breathing.
All right.
Believe
all right.
me.
Good. Believe good. Good. Yeah. How did? Can you tell us your meet cute for the three of you? How did you all start collaborating on music together?
Well, I think it came from. So I mainly play and tour with a band called Gentil Quorum, which is a trio Ooh. That plays French Canadian traditional music. Thank you. There's three of you who know us. And so over the years in the festival circuit, I think we got to see Solace a couple of times. And we ended up at some point, Seamus was the musical director for a fantastic show during the holidays that was hosted by the amazing man Brian O'Donovan, who's down in Boston with WGBH. And at some point, I got the gig of being the guitar player of that show. So we got to spend... two, three weeks every year before Christmas playing music together. And I think that's the most time we spent together was doing that.
Yeah, yeah.
And now, once in a while, I get to play with these amazing musicians, my neighbors.
I think I first met Seamus in 2007 in California at a festival. I was playing, I think, with another Irish band at the time. And then... I remember I was supposed to, in the year 2013, I was supposed to do a beautiful singing. I also do early music and I was supposed to do a singing with two other women in James Turrell's underground cavern, the artist who works with light. And I remember it was a little iffy when it was going to happen, but at the same time I got a call from Seamus, or maybe Brian O'Donovan, saying, we would love for you to be part of this Boston Christmas music extravaganza. And I had to choose between James Turrell and this Christmas, unknown Christmas thing. But I knew that I loved Solace, and so I chose to come and come to Boston instead of going into the desert. And the rest was history. Yeah.
Your next song you'll be playing is Everything Always Was mm-hmm. and Days of War. Maura, would you like to say a little bit about this?
Yeah. So the first one is a waltz written by Seamus. And I think I won't try to explain it, but it's one of the most beautiful waltzes I've ever played. And it's just got all this pathos about, I think... all the feelings that come to you after living a life where you have these little disappointments and these big changes that came from maybe breakage but also you come into this new space in life, and that keeps happening to you, and you keep having this idea that everything always was this kind of larger sense of things. But I'm sort of paraphrasing what Seamus might have meant by that. Do you want to say something?
No, you've got it exactly way better than I would.
Okay. Oh, yes. and it's a beautiful segue into a song, actually one of the first songs that Seamus and I wrote together. Usually when we songwrite, I write the words and then we write the music together. And in this case, the chorus that we'd love everybody to sing on has no words, but it's Seamus sort of thinking of this melody, doo, 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 doo. And it was so soothing that I wanted to pair it with the emotions that I was feeling after the events of Charlottesville in 2015, and feeling so lost and angry about that, and about the days of war that we are in, that we've been in war for decades, and how to keep making beautiful music and keep listening, like we've been talking about, to nature and all these softer things, how to keep that going, that flame lit, in amongst, you know, all the very egregious things that humans do to one another. Mm-hmm. So that's your segue. Mm-hmm.
says I must carry on to love, to feed, to make my home. And I sing to know that love is near, because anger holds the hand of fear. I sing to know that love is near, because anger holds the hand.
Maura Smiley, Seamus Egan, and Jan Falke. More in just a minute on Vermont Edition. Stay with us. Welcome back to Vermont Edition. I'm Michaela Lefrak. Today we are broadcasting live from our Stetson Studio One here at Vermont Public in Colchester in front of a live studio audience. Our guests are the folk musicians Seamus Egan, Maura Smiley, and Jan Falke. Jan, I'm going to let you introduce this next one because I have not kept up on my Duolingo in French, and I don't want to butcher the title. So please tell us about this last piece you'll be playing.
With pleasure. It's a seasonal piece. It's called Le Gui et le Ou. You can try that at home and here in the studio. Le Gui et le Ou.
Le Gui et le Ou.
Fantastic. Now you know how to say the mistletoe and the holly. One of my pleasure being a Quebecois living in Vermont is teach people very useless pieces of French. So there you go, Le Gui et le Ou. It's a song, it talks about how I'm not good with plants. I'm sure some of you are way better with green stuff than I am. But the mistletoe, it grows on other trees, right? And I think it kind of strangles them a little bit. So it's about in this season you go and you cut them out of your apple tree, so your apple tree are happy for the next season. But then as a bonus, you have all these cool, slick decoration for your house with your mistletoe and your holly in the form of little red pearls and white pearls. In French, perle rouge et perle blanche. Can you try that? Perle rouge.
Perle blanche.
There you go. And you have the chorus of the song, which is Perle rouge, perle blanche, le gui et le ou. So sing with me if you want to. All right, shall we?
Perle blanche de Guillet-le-Roux.
This blending of Irish and Quebecois and American folk traditions that we're weaving today. Seamus, you for a time were in a band that some of us here might be big fans of, Solas, and I hear there's a reunion happening in February.
Yes. We've been, you know, for the past 8 or so years, we've been kind of on a bit of a hiatus. And we realized that next year, 25, would be our 30th year as a band. So we...
Incredible.
I know, 30 years is sort of kind of...
It's very adult. That's a very adult band.
It's very sobering. but it doesn't feel like it's been 30 years, but, you know... In some ways, yes. But so next year we're going to, as they say, we're getting the band back together, and we're going to be touring all over the place for the year. But we're going to be in Barry at the Barry Opera House at the end of February 28th, I think.
Very
so
excited.
I'm really excited.
Yeah.
So if you're able to come out that night, please do.
And there are many ways in our region to interact with these three musicians, both in person and by listening to their music. Maura, you have a new album out called The Rhizome Project that incorporates a lot of Vermont characters,
Absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely. It really draws... So it's a book and a CD. The CD is with members of the Vermont Symphony Orchestra. We call them the Rhizome Quartet, but really they are the Jukebox Quartet. So they do incredible programs of all kinds. And we got together in Bristol in the Mill and recorded my arrangements, my string arrangements of these folk songs. And then the book is all about the characters in Western Vermont that were influential to me and also that connect to the subjects and the themes in each song. So the book was a very important part of it for me because it talks about your roots, the rhizome, and how when times are difficult, we can remember and go down into that root and remember the sugar in the ground that is connecting us all. So it was important that Vermonters around me were part of that book.
The sugar that arises from the plants and trees around here, very important to us Vermonters.
Yes, it is. We've kind of made an industry
it's
out
our
of
thing.
It. Yeah.
No offense to Canada. Great syrup as well. Jan, we have just about a minute left here. Help us give a little bit of love to the Southern Vermont music scene. Do you have any upcoming performances that you'd like to let us know about for folks who are in that part of the state or region?
No.
But, cool.
I'll be around.
Chilling
out. Come look me up. We'll go have a coffee. I just released a solo album that I'm happy to plug. It's called
Please.
Secret du Ciel, my very first solo album after playing with 20 plus year with my trio. So check that out if you have a chance.
It's so good.
Well, thank you, Maura. Yeah. And do listen to Maura's incredible, incredible album.
Yeah. Do you have a favorite place in Southern Vermont that you like to play or see music?
Absolutely. I love this venue in Putney called Next Stage. There's just a wonderful team of people. They just it's you know, first class venue, but also a real sense of community around it. They have movie nights where they show movies. They have a stand up comedian, but they also have a big place for folk music too. Mm-hmm. Love these guys.
Let's give one more round of applause to Jan Falke, Seamus Egan, and Maura Smiley. The Verbon Edition episode you just heard was performed in front of a live studio audience here at the Vermont Public Studios in Colchester. Thank you to everybody for coming out today and enjoyed this experience in person with us. It feels great to build community with you both over the airwaves and face to face. As always, you can weigh in on our show or pitch us your own ideas by emailing vermontedition@vermontpublic.org. Today's show was directed by Mary Angish and engineered by Phil Edfers, with event support by Amy Zielinski and video production by Dave Rice, Brian Stevenson, and Riley Cartwright. Our managing producer is John Ahrens, and our show is produced by Andrea Lorien and Daniela Fierro. Our theme music was composed by Myra Flynn. I'm Michaela LaFrac. Thank you so much for listening, and we will catch up again soon.